The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
The leading media story everywhere is still Parkland, Florida. The students who are rallying for new gun control laws. CNN, you should be ashamed of yourself. They furthered the spectacle with a town hall last night. And I've got a lot to say about that today. They got to confront congressmen on stage, including Senator Marco Rubio. When the media is not talking about these protests, what are they doing? They are blasting conservatives for daring to criticize something so innocent and so pure. This is being portrayed as grassroots, a student-led movement. It received so much immediate high-profile support and coverage that it is now being propelled by the very non-grassroots sources. I believe it was called AstroTurf. Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg are now matching George Clooney's $500,000 donation to the March for Our Lives. Where are these 16-year-olds cashing that check? Where are they? What are they writing that check to? The March for Life? Do these 16-year-olds know how they can set up a 501c3? Wow, and that's pretty quick, too. Where is the money going? $2 million, what's it for? Oprah said this gun control movement reminds her of the Freedom Riders in the 1960s. What an insult to the Freedom Riders. I don't think so, Oprah. This is a big part of America's current problem. Everything is hyperbole. Everything. You put a hashtag onto something, make some signs, print some t-shirts. Everybody loves a cause more than a real conversation. I want to go into CNN and I want to cheer for my team. Fortunately, parts of America can still tell when something is being artificially whipped up into a frenzy. People are concerned about the safety of their children. We are concerned about what's happening with school shootings. We are very concerned. But you know what? We disagree on what will work. Last night, I have to break the news to you. My guns broke out of the safe last night and they killed five children in my neighbor's house. I think mom and dad were also killed. I don't know. I don't have all the details. I should have caught it because I did catch my my AR just randomly shooting little animals, and I did nothing. The guns aren't killing people. The guns aren't killing little animals. People are doing that. We have a problem with our soul. The superintendent of the Needville School District, this is outside of Houston, doesn't want any part of all of this stuff. Yesterday, he sent a letter to the district parents announcing that any students who participate in the protest of gun violence during school hours will receive a 3-day suspension. He says life is all about choices and every choice has a consequence, whether it's positive or negative. A school is a place to learn and grow educationally, emotionally, and morally. A disruption of school will not be tolerated. We're here for an education, not a political protest. Amen. Now, if you want to have your kid protest, just accept the consequence. The superintendent sees this movie. I mean, geez, I just thought of this. I'm sorry to bring this up, but I bet even the Freedom Riders didn't have any kind of consequence for their action. This superintendent sees this movement for the political storm it has become, and he's trying to head it off at the pass. It's not unreasonable for the head of a school district to try to avoid conflict and maintain order during school hours. Let me ask you this. If the kids would have protested about the unconstitutional activities of our government under Obama, would everybody be tolerating this? Newsflash, schools have to impose order or you won't be able to have school. Every school handbook is full of student restrictions. So you could actually have school. But because this is 2018, there are already calls for him to be fired for doing his job. In times of crisis, I think we need to be reminded that it is still legal. At least, what time is it? It's still legal to have a differing opinion.
It's Thursday, February 22nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Boy, I did not feel it was legal to have a different opinion last night. Did you?
Not in that room.
CNN. Well, let me ask you. CNN, why didn't you do, if you think it's so important for people's voices to be heard, when 50% of the country said, this is wrong, this health care bill is unconstitutional, why didn't you fill a stadium full of Tea Partiers and then call Nancy Pelosi and the union bosses and the White House to stand on that stage and be berated? This was a witch hunt last night. It was a witch hunt. You had people who clearly, was there anybody who had the other side that was allowed to speak, really?
I mean,
without being shouted down?
No. Rubio and Dana Lash, Rubio at some level, and then Dana Lash for sure, who did a great job.
Yeah.
But no, she was not giving any room to actually speak. Of course not.
And the crowd was cheering and chanting the entire time. I have to tell you, if I believed in either side, I was frustrated.
Yeah, you got nothing out of that.
You got nothing out of that. Yeah. You had a bunch of teams, and one team was wildly unrepresented in the crowd, and so you had nothing but cheering every time the other side made a point.
And it was just completely ridiculous. I mean,
there was no listening.
Points, for example, Dana was making about making sure when there are huge warning signs and red flags that they are legally required to be put into the database so other states know. So you don't just go to another state and then that same person who has all sorts of mental problems can go buy a gun in another state, right? That is the basic point that she was making there. And they would boo her for that because she wasn't saying that she wanted to restrict guns from law-abiding citizens. Now, if you actually care about doing something that can help solve the problem, that solution is completely legitimate and must be done.
Nobody cared about any logical explanation on anything. Mental health. If you are deemed mentally dangerous to yourself or others, we need a way to report that and have that on the background check. We don't have that.
Well, I don't think that criminal and crazy people should have guns.
We agree with you. There is no way to get that done. Well, are you saying that you won't take away guns? No, I won't take away guns. I won't take away guns from people who aren't mentally insane. I won't take away guns from people who aren't evil, who are law-abiding citizens. No. You know, here, can you hand me that, please? Can you hand me that gun?
I can.
It's one of my favorite stories. There was a guy who was out in California. And he decided he had to take off all of his clothes. It's in the 1960s. He's nuts.
Clothes were not more a thing we really needed
no,
in the 60s.
Uh-uh. So in the 1960s, he goes out and he's shooting birds in California with his shotgun, naked. You know, like all bird hunters do, apparently.
You don't really clothe when you're shooting birds.
Yeah. He was also, it was
the policy of mine, at least. I don't know if that's, am I the only one?
Maybe. he was also not, the right season. He was shooting any birds. I mean, there were some real problems. So a neighbor calls and says, I got a naked hippie and he's shooting birds. So they're like, okay, well, come pick up the naked hippie. They came and picked up the naked hippie. The naked hippie was carrying this gun, okay? This shotgun. One shot at a time. They took this gun away from the naked hippie. I wish I could say, and everything was solved. The naked hippie was Charlie Manson. He found other ways to kill people. He didn't need the gun.
Hmm.
Crazy people will kill you whether they have a toothpick or an automatic weapon. It's not the gun. For instance, I've had this gun for quite a while. I've never killed anybody. Isn't that weird? Because this gun, well, I mean, it didn't kill anybody, but it was killing birds, and it was in the hands of an insane killer. You think some of the, maybe the insanity would rub off on me, too. It's not the gun. It's not the gun. It's the person and what they decide. And you notice no one was focused on that. Even the sheriff that came in and was talking to Dana. I love Dana. Dana left us to go to work for the NRA. And when she told me she was leaving for the NRA, I was like, go. Yeah. Go.
We love you here, but we love you, protect but our Second Amendment rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could we play the audio of her talking to the red flag failures? It's not that one, I don't think. It's the one where she's talking to the sheriff, and the sheriff is denying some facts, and he's trying to come on strong to Dana and win with the cheers of the audience.
Is it 39 visits, Dana's CNN
Yes, that's
Town
it.
Hall? That's
yep.
it. Yeah, 39 visits. Yep, okay, here we
here
go.
It is.
If we feel the totality of the circumstances rises to the level where we're concerned this person might be mentally ill, we need the power to take every firearm they have away from them and bring them to a mental health facility.
39 visits did not meet that standard. 39 visits, assaulting students, assaulting parents, taking bullets and knives to school. Did that not meet that standard?
Well, which are you speaking about specifically? You seem to know about all 39.
Well, I know there's one Florida statute where if he's sending messages threatening, if he's sending messages threatening to kill people, that right there under Florida state law.
Who did he send the message to kill people to?
BuzzFeed, AP, Reuters, Yahoo News,
no,
all reported that was to other students.
Who is the victim?
It was Reuters sent to other students.
Dana, Reuters can't be a victim. The only person who could be a victim is an individual.
Sheriff is what
so
I'm
if
saying.
An individual was threatened and it was real, that's a crime. But if he's posting things...
Yes, they were threatened with death. They were threatened that they were going to bleed. They were threatened that they were going to be killed.
Well, what's your specific case?
And he had already taken bullets and knives
39.
To school. He had already assaulted people. He assaulted his parent. He assaulted other students. 39 visits. And this was known to the intelligence
visits.
And law enforcement community. I'm not saying that you can be everywhere at once, but this is what I'm talking
about.
We have to follow up on these red flags.
You're not the litmus test.
Doesn't that meet the standard?
You're absolutely not the litmus test for how law enforcement should follow up. You're wrong. There weren't 39 visits. Some of them, they were GOA. Some of them called from other states. To say there were 39 visits, I don't know where you got those facts, but you're completely wrong.
Did they report it inaccurately?
They reported it inaccurately.
I will say the...
Okay, hang on just a second. Mm-hmm. You know who the media was?
Yeah.
CNN.
Documents obtained by CNN show that law enforcement officers responded to this killer's house on 39 occasions.
CNN. Jake, where were you last night saying... Sheriff, you're actually wrong. We reported that. You know, they did that during, you know, they did that
during the debates
a lot to make sure that people understood. Where was CNN last night making sure that sheriff was discredited? They were called 39 times. And Dana's point is really the end of this conversation. This kid had law enforcement in his house 39 times. How much more of a red flag do you need? He didn't come out of nowhere. How much more of a red flag? How many more laws do you need? Jeez, man, they'll take kids who have a class 2 lookalike firearm, a finger gun, and they'll fingerprint those kids. This guy, 39 times, and they just decide to leave the guns? What other laws can we ignore?
I mean, obviously, there's a different cause for each one of these situations that you have to look at. Some of them are Islamic extremism. Some of them are mental illness. There's been a large range of what these things have been. However, this one blatantly was easily able to be solved because of mental illness. He gave all kinds of signs. This is not the guy from Vegas where there was no trail and no one knew this was coming. This was a blatantly obvious one. He was telling people, and those people told the FBI. This has nothing to do with banning guns at all. Nothing to do with it.
I want to remind you what FEMA said just before Christmas. It was late December, you know, when everybody's paying attention to what the government says. And they say that FEMA is not going to be able to respond to the, you know, the next disaster because they are broke and broken. What they were really saying was Americans need to prepare. You need to be prepared. You need to be able to take care of yourself. That's why My Patriot Supply has a 2-week emergency food supply, breakfast, lunch, and dinners for only $67. Now, that is a savings of $50. Order a 2-week kit for each member of your family. Do it now. This is the easiest way to be prepared. Call 1-800-977-0542 or you can go online to preparewithglenn.com. My Patriot Supply they're the people who have helped me with my food storage for years. My Patriot Supply can now help you get started with a 2-week emergency food supply, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, one person, 3 meals a day for 2 weeks for $67. Call 800-977-0542 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You're not going to change her mind. There's only one way to make America safely. What you're going to have to do, as I said, this young generation, we didn't get it done, but you will get it done. Vote in people who feel the same way you do.
This is the eighth tragedy. The eighth tragedy where we have seen numerous tips that have been reported and red flags that no, I mean, are we talking about prevention or not? I mean, that's, I think it's incredibly important.
Keep going.
In Charleston, they had to say, they had to come out and say that it was a paperwork error, that this individual was a prohibited possessor. In South Carolina, you have to be charged with a felony, not just convicted, but charged with a felony. And he should have never been able to purchase the firearm. The worst school shooting with the murderer in Virginia, this individual was court ordered to undergo mental health evaluations, and he slipped through the cracks. He would have never been able to purchase if this had been known. This is what I'm talking about in terms of prevention and making sure that people who are dangerous should not have access to firearms without punishing law-abiding Americans who want to be able to have that same right to defend themselves.
So can I ask you a question? Two questions. A, how is that not totally reasonable? If you're really trying to stop things, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't also want to ban guns.
Right.
How is that not logical?
I mean, I think you just said it. If you actually are looking for a solution, it is logical.
Correct.
But of course they're not.
They're not. And second question is really for CNN. What did you expect this to be?
Yeah.
What really, what did you expect this to be when you've invited a crowd of people,
thousands,
who don't agree with anything other than ban the guns? What did you expect? That you're going to have a reasonable debate with a mob? This really was really close to a lynch mob for anybody who disagreed.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, thank God, you know, they were able to, you know, secure that place because that was crazy. Again, like how many times have they've had debates before on CNN? And what they'll do is they'll have 14 people sitting in chairs and they'll step up and they'll ask questions. That would have been much more. If you wanted to get anything out of that, that would have been a reasoned approach.
This was world wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that was.
Yeah.
You know, where everybody is wearing a tie instead. But make no mistake, you put on a WWE event last night, CNN, not news.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Do you think CNN would have thought it would be helpful, if after 9/11, or you know what, even after some of the emotion cooled, when the Islamic community wanted to build a mosque at Ground Zero, to hold a town hall where it was an auditorium full of victims' families who all thought alike that it was an insult to have Islam build a mosque at Ground Zero. Do you think they would have thought that that would have been helpful for the dialogue?
Let's say we staged around September 16th, 2001.
Yeah.
You know, make sure it's really close, really raw. Because I think, honestly, when they actually were building that mosque, it would have been a very respectful room. Right?
I'm not so sure.
I think it probably would have been. You know, but still, you're right. Maybe it wouldn't have been. You put it right 5 days after it when it's as raw as possible. And that's the thing. They're just using these kids to build an emotional case for a policy they've been asking for forever. It's despicable what they're doing. You know, you look at, and I heard that one of the kids was on CNN or something this morning, and they were like, oh, well, people are saying you're being used by the media. Are you being used by the media?
Oh, no, of course not. That's ridiculous.
Well, no one knows they're being used or admits to being used by the media. When you're 16 years old, you might not pick that up perfectly. But for example, has anyone from the media or anyone from the advocacy groups backing these people sat these kids down and said, hey, by the way, the most extreme policy that you're advocating for when you go on television every day will not take one gun off the street. All it will do is limit future purchases. So all the 330 million guns still existing in America would all still be there. By the way, all the other types of guns would still be able to be purchased. Okay. By the way, now this is, I'm talking about the actual assault weapons ban. By the way, so you're talking about 350 million in a number of years, you'd have 349 million. But take into account that an AR-15 costs $2,000. If you're someone who wants to go buy a gun and you have $2,000 to spend on a gun, and then you buy your handgun instead and it costs $400, what are you going to do with that other $1,600? Likely, you're going to buy multiple guns. So there is a good chance that this policy will actually increase the number of future guns, and it's impossible for it to lower the amount of guns. And yet every one of those kids goes up and says, we need to get these guns off the streets. You're not getting any guns off the streets. Has anyone explained that to them?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Because they just want the emotion from these kids.
And
they don't care.
I think it's actually worse than what you say, because it's also not going to stop the sale of those guns. It's going to change the rail of the gun. It's going to change, you know, the part underneath the barrel that you hold on to that is spooky looking because it's black and it's plastic and just put wood on that. That's it.
And there's other modifications that would need to be made, right? It's not just wood, but that's a big part of it.
Define automatic weapon. Assault rifle.
Right.
Define an assault rifle.
They have, you know, they did do an assault weapons ban here in the United States in the 90s. And what happened was there was tons of guns that looked at their restrictions, and then they just came out that were slightly different.
Yep.
And they were able to get around the
music. If you want to get a semi-automatic rifle, then you're talking about a semi-automatic rifle ban. But if you're talking about an assault rifle, what is an assault rifle?
It's so annoying. Every rifle is an assault rifle. Every handgun is an assault handgun. Every knife can be an assault knife. An assault is something you do with something. There's no category like that. The same thing. Weapons of war is their new one. Weapons of war. Yeah, because no one's ever used a handgun in war. There's never been any. They used to put knives at the ends of guns so you could stab people with them, and they still do at times. Every weapon can be a weapon of war, right? Like, how is the Islamic State completing their war on people in Europe? By running them over at street fairs. That is a weapon of war to the Islamic State. These terms mean nothing. They are just designed to make you feel emotional so that you will advocate for the policy. And honestly, more than that, you will garner donations to Democrats and left-wing progressive activist groups so that they can gain more power. It has nothing to do with these victims, and it's terrible to see them treated this way.
So I want to play a couple of things. Next hour, Bill O'Reilly is joining us with his take on this. And we'll go into a little bit of what Senator Rubio had to deal with and what he said.
Bill O'Reilly never has anything to talk about on CNN.
No, he really doesn't.
Especially when CNN's on the table. No. I don't think he'll have any criticism.
He loves them.
He loves them.
So let me. You know what's amazing? I am probably the biggest defender of CNN and Jake Tapper. I defend them all the time when I think they're right. There is no excuse for what is happening right now. They are 100% in the bag for this agenda.
It's outward advocacy. I wouldn't say from Jake Tapper, by the way. I mean, the event, and then the way it was set up was, I wouldn't say.
Can you imagine? Let's have a real debate. You know, people really need to be heard. So let's bring the Tea Party in with all of the leaders of the Obama administration, and let's put them in an arena. And we'll make them like the Christians, and we'll fill the place with lions. And let's put them down. Let's put them down there. And then, you know, we're going to let them be heard. And you can respond, Obama administration. You can respond to everything they're saying. And then we're going to end the show. They're going to read a couple of poems and they're going to sing a song. Do you think CNN would have allowed that orchestration to happen?
I mean, let's look at even more recent history. Remember how critical they were of Trump rallies, when they would start screaming things about the enemies, when people would start chanting things. Can you imagine? You just put the opposing side of that argument up in front of an entire rowdy Trump crowd, and then have them come out and be able to sing their, you know, country music ballad at the end of it that praises Donald Trump. I mean, it's incomprehensible.
It was real propaganda.
It's incomprehensible. They act as if they act as if everybody knows that what we need to do to save children is ban guns.
Right.
And the only reason that people aren't doing that is because they just want whatever NRA money. Right. So every question is asked with that sort of current under it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I mean, at what point are these politicians in Washington finally going to
understand the Constitution? This isn't about guns. This is about rights. The Constitution of the United States. It's number two on the top 10. It's number two.
Yeah.
They seem freedom of speech. Oh, you got that down. Well, not really. Not if you disagree.
No.
Okay. So freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. They don't have that one down. You lose the First Amendment if you lose the Second Amendment.
You lose all the amendments if you lose the Second Amendment. That's why it's there. So you don't lose all the other ones.
No, it's for hunting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let me play two quick clips from Dana last night, who, God bless her. If there's anyone who could have pulled this off, it was Dana.
Thank God she's there.
Man. Oh, yeah. So here she is. Trying to defend the Second Amendment when a teacher stands up. Uh-oh.
This issue is about making sure that we're protecting innocent lives. No innocent lives should be lost. None of them should.
When the Second Amendment was ratified, they were talking about muskets. We're not talking about muskets. We're talking about assault weapons. We're talking about weapons that of mass destruction that kill people.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Data waits. She obviously knows the answer to this. She's just waiting there, pausing, letting the crowd die down, who think that the teachers won.
What? Wait, are you going to play the rest?
And I want to know, What is your definition?
Wait, stop. Can you play the rest of that clip? Can you get Mike to play the rest of that clip? Because we didn't get her answer.
The point of that one. Should we try this militia?
Play the asking about the militia.
Same type
and
of
I
clip.
I want to know, what is your definition of a well-regulated militia as stated in the Second Amendment and using supporting detail, explain to me.
She's got her.
She's a teacher.
She's got her.
She's treating her like a
student.
She's
going.
And using supporting detail, explain to me how an 18-year-old with a military rifle is well regulated. And the world, our country, our nation is going to grade your answer.
She's going to grade your answer.
Uh-oh.
See?
And I want to say as well, as a parent, I see my kids and these students. I see my kids and the students that are here today.
Oh, she's just...
What you went through is horrid. I'm not going to pretend to understand what you went through. There are no words for it. It's monstrous. And nobody should have to endure that. I want to answer your question. George Mason was one of the founders, and he said the militia is the whole of the people. It's every man, it's every woman. That is who the militia is. In the context of the time, a well-regulated militia meant an American man, an American woman, a citizen of the United States of America, who could operate and service their firearm.
She just caught, you know, other than that, having that little fact that this teacher, I don't even know if this teacher had... but this teacher was trying to use intimidation.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a prove you're not a witch. You're not a witch.
And grade her answer. That would be an A+.
Yeah, I believe.
Because she, remember, this is a woman who has written multiple bestsellers on this topic.
Yeah.
You're not going to get over the militia argument, which, by the way, was ruled on by the Supreme Court twice. And both times they said exactly what Dana said.
You know what it looks like? I'm sorry to say this. Looks like the teacher didn't do their homework. It's kind of a basic thing. Know how somebody's going to answer before you ask the question. Just when you thought cyber criminals couldn't stoop any lower, they're now stealing and selling your social security numbers and other personal information. And it's not just yours. It's infants now. Identity thieves can buy infants' information on the dark web because of the clean credit history. It's really valuable. They can take out mortgages, apply for credit cards, receive government benefits, and the crimes go undetected for years. And when your kids grow up, it's a huge headache. So many threats in today's connected world, and it takes one weak link for criminals to get in. That's why the new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against the threats to your identity and to your devices that you can't easily catch or fix on your own. And if there is a problem, their agents are going to fix it. Now, nobody can stop all cyber threats, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But the new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover the threats that you might miss. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BECK. Get an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code BECK. An extra 10% off now. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
When the Second Amendment was ratified, they were talking about muskets. We're not talking about muskets. We're talking about assault weapons. We're talking about weapons that of mass destruction that kill people.
At the time, there were fully automatic firearms that were available, the Belton gun and the Puckle gun. And in fact, the Continental Congress reviewed a purchase of one of those firearms. Well, what I'm saying is there's more than just muskets available. We don't say that no one has a right to free speech because of Twitter or social media. But the point that you raised, and I think it's a good one, and I know what you're saying, and believe me, I understand that. I think all innocent lives should be protected. I don't think that you should have ever had to gone through that. If I could
change time and change circumstances, I would have done everything in my power to prevent that.
Except take... Hey, wait. What would that have been? What would that have been? If I could change time, what would you do? What would you do?
Probably put him in prison.
Put him in prison or remove the guns from his house.
Right, yeah.
Right? You wouldn't go change time and then take all AR, you know, all ARs off the market.
Of
you wouldn't
not.
Have done that.
No.
It wouldn't have changed anything.
Well,
if you could go back, you would do exactly what the FBI and the police should have done.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and if you look at it this way, everything that they said that had to do with gun control got wild applause. And it was the only acceptable answer from anyone on the stage, Democrat, Republican, NRA, any of them. The only acceptable response was we're going to tighten gun laws and implement gun control. Let's just take this into another situation. Let's say the same amount of people, 17 people, died by the same killer, except that killer instead used a bomb. Would they have had a forum for that? Would CNN have even put it on TV? Would they have all got around and talked to people about controlling explosives? No, this had nothing to do with the actual attack, with the exception of they're using the emotion as fuel.
If this would have been done by a Islamic extremism in a nightclub, would they have this conversation as well? I don't even think so, because they wouldn't want to have highlighted that it was a Muslim extremist.
Yeah, I mean, they may have done a gun debate after the Pulse thing. I don't remember.
I know we talked about a gun thing, but we were not allowed to even talk about Muslim extremism.
Right, like the equivalent here is taking an Islamic extremist, right? That you're going in there, and then you're taking people who are viscerally against Islam or Islamic extremism surrounding the mullahs, right? And having them
to the point to where they're saying all Muslims should be removed.
Right.
No. Back in a minute with Bill O'Reilly.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I was so disappointed with the town hall last night. I don't think it did anything but make people on both sides of the issue really angry. We didn't get any answers. We didn't further the conversation. It was a world wrestling event. At least that's the way it felt to me. But since CNN decided that this was their journalistic duty, I would like to cover a few things with CNN. First, let's start with the definition of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. Now, that's what the dictionary says. But let me give you the actual audio clip of hypocrisy. If I would like to, you know, if we want to explain it and have people understand it, you know, people in the press, let's play the video of the incredibly brave CNN reporter that actually had the courage to get into the face of a woman twice his age in front of what looks like her home. Listen.
Being Patriotic was the group that contacted and helped organize some of these activities that you posted on your own Facebook account.
Those were legitimate.
Those were Russians.
They were not Russians. I don't go with the Russians.
That on, group was Russian.
I have nothing to do with the Russians. The
well, apparently you did.
No.
Maybe you didn't know it, but
oh,
you did.
Oh, my gosh. Now, CNN was calling out this Florida woman for unwittingly promoting a Russian-coordinated pro-Trump rally via Facebook. The group he's referring to, Being Patriotic, was identified by the Mueller indictment as part of Russia's operation to influence the election. As per the indictment, Being Patriotic began reaching out to U.S. citizens in Florida around July 2016 to help organize a Florida Goes Trump rally later in the month. The Russians, posing as Trump supporters here in the U.S., duped people like this Florida woman into promoting the event on Facebook. Now, here's where that word hypocrisy comes in. What exactly does CNN consider, quote, promoting a Russian coordinated event? Because if promoting means giving attention to a Russian organized political rally, how does CNN exactly explain this on November 12th?
After they pointed in that direction, they yelled, we're not going to be tolerating any sexism or homophobia or racism. And that is really the message. All of sort of these protesters coming together, frustrated, angry, and all directed at the president-elect.
Wow, that's weird. That's CNN's coverage of the Trump is not my president rally in New York that happened on November 12th. Both CNN and MSNBC reported nearly nonstop live updates throughout the rally every single hour. Michael Moore was even seen front and center marching with the horde. So now what do we have here? Page 23 of the Russia indictment fingers that specific rally as one of those organized by the Russians. CNN has an audience of almost 354 million households worldwide. The lady in Florida, I've never seen her before, and I'm pretty sure she doesn't have a global network in her backyard. Is promoting a Russian promoting Russian propaganda, spewing it on television, saying what that rally is all about to several hundred million people, not a little worse than the few thousand that this woman in Florida might have unwittingly reached in Facebook? I want to make sure that we're not comparing apples to bananas. They're both supporting a Russian operation. Maybe CNN was just blinded by their incredible courage. But it seems to me they kind of miss that sequoia-sized plank in their own eye. The hypocrisy with these people is too much to bear. But since they're doxing people that were unwittingly caught up in all of this, I wonder, will they be knocking on the door of Michael Moore's Michigan mansion?
It's Thursday, February 22nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We have the one, the only, Mr. Bill O'Reilly joining us now. Hello, Bill.
Beck, how you doing, man?
I'm very good. CNN.
Yeah, the flu, are you okay?
I'm good. I was a little frustrated last night with the CNN debacle, but they are claiming that you will not come out and take a stand against those who are saying that these kids are nothing but actors.
Well, I said on BillO'Reilly.com yesterday that I had to watch it because it's my job, so that my listeners don't have to watch the CNN thing. But I didn't expect anything other than a very sharp pro-government point of view in the sense of controlling weapons. So, you were absolutely right when you said, okay, what do we get out of that? And we didn't get anything. We got a bunch of empty rhetoric. Not to criticize the kids. Some of the kids are sincere. Some of them are being used. I mean, it's the same thing with adults. Some are adults are sincere. Some are being used. I thought it was useless to basically talk about things that are unrealistic. There are things that we can do to make it more difficult for people to kill and maim Americans.
Did you notice, Bill, that no one was interested in anything else other than banning guns?
Well, it isn't they don't even know what that means, the kids I'm talking about. Far left obviously wants the government to have as much control over our lives as possible, and then one of the ways the government would have control is to disarm the population so the population could not defend itself. That's never going to happen in this country, ever. It's just unconstitutional, and there's no way it's going to happen unless there's a coup d'etat. But in a democracy, it's not going to happen. All the polls say that Americans don't want the government confiscating all weapons. But it gets worse than that, though. It's basically using children, teenagers, traumatized kids from Broward County, Florida, to spout things that they don't understand. And you can't challenge the student or the teenager. If you're a broadcaster, you can't say, well, do you really know the history of this? Or, well, do you know the unintended consequences of doing something like that? Because then you're bullying them. You see, this is paramount for your audience to understand. The techniques of the left have changed in the last 12 months to say that if you support Donald Trump, you're a white supremacist. If you support having Americans be able to arm themselves, then you're supporting the killer in Broward County. If you criticize LeBron James for saying that Trump doesn't care about anybody, you're a racist. You see what it is? It's a demonization across the board that if you object to any left-wing policies, then you're a horrible, horrendous person. That's what's happening here. And the kids in the forefront are illuminating that.
So let me go back to the original question, because I don't even think you understand it, because I don't think you pay attention to it, because honestly, I wouldn't have paid attention to it, because it comes from places like the Gateway Pundit, which has absolutely zero credibility. There are people now on the fringes, like Gateway Pundit and obviously Alex Jones, that are saying that these kids are all crisis actors.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't think it's a coordinated effort to mass bus kids places so they can act up. I think that there is a peer pressure, and this is, again, very important, a peer pressure on teenagers to be anti-gun at this point in history.
So,
and peer pressure is everything in the teenage world.
Sure. So let me take that a step further. Who is George Clooney writing a $500,000 check to? Who is Steven Spielberg and Oprah Winfrey matching that? They've raised now $2 million.
Right.
Where is that money going?
What this is, and that's an excellent question, Beck. You really recovered from the flu nice.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're not delirious any longer.
Yeah, well.
It's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. So what this is all about is the Women's March.
Yes.
It's absolutely identical to the Women's March. What was the Women's March? That was an anti-Trump extravaganza. So if pro-life women wanted to march, they couldn't. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were told, go home. If you believe in abortion control, we don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
So forget about the women thing. That just blew up. So it was essentially the Women's March was, we hate Trump. So what this march is coming up is that anyone who believes in Second Amendment rights is a fascist and a sympathizer with mass murderers. That's what this march is about.
But wouldn't that, okay? I mean, if you know anything about fascism, wouldn't that be more along the lines of the definition of fascism?
Yeah, but then you're going behind the curtain, see? And most Americans aren't going to do that. What they're going to see is they're going to mobilize millions of people. And believe me, George Soros money will be behind this. All the far left money will be behind this. Clooney's a far left guy. Everybody knows that.
Doesn't mean that they're hiring these kids. It means they're supporting their cause and helping get the word out, et cetera, et cetera.
The kids are pawns. The kids are being used to front a movement to severely restrict weaponry in America. So the kids are being used as the poster people for that. And the kids don't know it. And they don't know, the complicated nature of the issue. They don't know unintended consequences. They don't know any of that. But if you said to, hey, Sydney, do you really know? And then you'd be a bully. So that's why you see no commentators on any network challenging any student who says anything.
Do you think that CNN was acting responsibly last night?
Well, I mean, CNN has a right to put on whatever they want, and they knew they were going to get a big audience, and they did. And CNN is fervently, word of the day, fervently liberal.
I mean, this is to the point of outward advocacy.
They're in business to promote left-wing causes, and so is MSNBC and NBC.
Have you noticed, though, a difference here, Bill, with this debate, though? That they're always left-leaning. There's always an undercurrent of liberal-leaning.
Yeah, but now they're activists.
This is activism.
Yes. Now, they've taken the next step. And they're always left-leaning. They're always biased to the left. And doing little things to promote a point of view that would advance liberalism. But now they say, you know, that didn't really work. Look who we have in the White House. That didn't work. So now we're going to be activists. We're going to be using our power and our influence to change policy and to move the country into a left-wing situation. And one of the strategies of that is to destroy anyone individually who speaks up against it. And that's why you saw the attacks on Laura Ingraham. All right, that's why you saw the attacks on me. Because if you can marginalize those people, then everybody else is shut up. Do you know, and I said this on BillO'Reilly.com last night, and I was the only one that stuck up for Laura Ingraham and told America that she isn't a racist. I've known a woman for two decades.
She's not a racist.
Okay,
she's
so
clearly not.
And I made a big deal out of saying that. But even her own network didn't do it. I mean, because they're afraid. They're afraid of being branded racist. So it's working. What the far left is doing is absolutely working. And the kids in Florida are just the latest, in the strategy to make it impossible to hear both sides of the story. CNN doesn't want both sides of the story. Come on, it's a joke.
So we're going to pick it up next with, so what happens next? Where are we headed? What are we headed for? And what's Bill's idea of the best way to avoid trouble?
By the way, you can get commentary like that every day at BillO'Reilly.com.
Not for free, though.
Well, you should subscribe, and he's got all sorts of great packages. It's BillO'Reilly.com. BillO'Reilly.com is where you would go for them.
Thank you very much, Stu. If you're hiring, you need some great people. And there's a better way than just posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. Now, ZipRecruiter has a smarter way. They've built a platform that adds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies the people with the right experience, and then invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized the way that people are getting hired now. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. And now ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications that you receive so you don't ever have to miss the great match. They're saying to you, this one, make sure you look at this one. ZipRecruiter is the way you're going to find that next great employee. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. You can try it for free now at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly, how do you... I know you don't like to do future predictions, but what are we headed for? Another couple of shootings like this, and we'll be tearing each other apart.
Yeah, I think that can be avoided by legislation that concentrates on harm reduction. Harm reduction. For example, there is no reason why any American should be allowed to buy a gun under the age of 21. It's scientifically proven that your personality is not formed until you're 25, and deadly weapons can lead to all kinds of bad things. So you raise the gun purchase to 21. Then you have a universal background check law, all right, so that people who have done bad things in Idaho, and they try to buy a gun in Virginia, the Virginians know that. Those are just harm reduction, common sense. And, yeah, I mean, you're going to get a little bit of opposition, but not much. So those can be passed. And then the states have got to swing into action. I mean, Beck, you live in Texas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I live in New York. Is there any reason that both states cannot mandate that every public school have two or three armed guards on campus based on the population of the school?
No.
They have to have them. Or those are salaries paid for, just like teacher salaries, just like coaching salaries. You have armed guards on campus, and you have them there for 10 hours or whatever you need them, whenever the kids are there. Why don't we have that law? Why isn't that happening? This is called harm reduction. And there are very few downsides to this, okay? It's logical. And then once you do that, and particularly with the armed guards in the schools, you make it 1,000 times harder for a guy to walk in and do this kind of carnage. And so to me, I do this kind of legislative stuff, and then you're never going to stop all of these crazy massacres, ever. But you'll be able to cut them down, and you'll be able to say to the American people, we are trying. We are doing what we can do. And none of this intrudes, by the way, in the right to adult for American adults to protect themselves. None of it intrudes. So let's do it.
So there's a couple of things that I want to ask you about. First, I noticed that you didn't that's not delving into the root of the problem. I mean, those are all good suggestions, but it's not delving into the root of the problem.
It's harm reduction.
Right, but
reduce harm.
But there is something wrong with us, Bill. There's something wrong with our society. There is
a
hole.
There is. Of course, and we have talked about it, you and I have talked about it for the last 10 months.
Right.
You know, the spirit of the country is depressed and divided. And now, instead of respecting other people's opinions that differ from your own, we hate them. And this is being driven by a mass media and the internet, which is hateful. You can't get away with it, from it. You can't get away from it. You turn on the cable news, it's hate. You turn on the computers and you read the Facebook comments, it's hate. So, of course, that's going to find its way into the daily interactions between Americans. But I still believe that most people are essentially good people, reasonable people. But I think our leadership is weak, and we don't have people explaining, harm reduction. We don't have people like that.
What do you think about Trump's suggestion that we arm teachers?
No, I'm a former teacher. I had enough time problem, persuading the urchins to pay attention, and I don't want to point a magnum at them.
I don't think that's what he had in mind.
Right. Yeah. I see. No. Teachers need to teach. Armed security personnel need to maintain order.
That seems like the most logical thing. This is going to be it's going to feel like you're in a police state. Do you feel like a police state when you go into a bank or when you go to an NBA game? I don't feel like I'm in the middle of a police state when I go see the Mavericks. You go through a metal detector. You don't have guns. There are armed security there to protect the people.
You feel safe.
Yeah, feel safe.
And you're allowed to then enjoy the game or, I don't know, learn or make out for the first time. I don't know what you do in school anymore, but I don't think it's learning.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Wayne LaPierre is currently speaking at CPAC, and he is on a roll. Real freedom requires protection of all of our rights. He has been talking for about 10 minutes about the socialists that are coming after all of our rights. Bill, how do you, off the cuff response to that?
I think LaPierre makes the stronger points when he stays away from ideology. You know, the socialist thing, I don't think that helps him. What he did in the beginning of his speech to the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland was effective in the sense that he said, look, the government has all these laws, okay? Well, they really don't prevent anything, do they? We have laws about sneaking into the country.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have snuck into the country? 20 million? All right, we have laws against opioids. You're not supposed to sell narcotics. How many people are selling narcotics? So basically the point is that, the government can say, we're going to ban all guns, but you're still going to have massacres because people aren't going to obey that law. That's strong because you can back it up with facts. You can see. And it's also, when you get into the constitutionality of it, the overwhelming force is on the side of people who want to have the ability to protect themselves. That's what the Constitution says. So once if LaPierre and the NRA stay there, they win. if they go over into, you know, the socialists are going to come in the middle of the night and take your pistol, they lose. So that's my analysis.
Let me ask you this. Elk Grove Historical Society in California was going to do a mock Revolutionary War battle. And then the city found out that they were going to bring muskets. Now, every argument I have ever heard from the left says the Second Amendment meant muskets. Okay. Why is it then the city officials have said the reenactment cannot include muskets?
I don't know.
They have to use sticks.
I mean, it's a Revolutionary War. What are they going to have, slingshots?
They're using sticks.
That's just politically correct nonsense. So I'd move out of that town. What is it? Would you say Elk Grove?
Elk Grove.
Yeah, we'd have to move.
let me take you to Billy Graham. Any thoughts on Billy Graham this week?
Billy Graham is a great man. I think he was what we were talking about before, the disintegration of spirit in America, that our spirit is being just obliterated by all of this hatred. I think Billy Graham countered that, and that if you listen to his missions and his speeches, he was always trying to uplift. He didn't use religion as a cudgel. He didn't say, you know, if you do this action, you're going to go to hell. It wasn't that way. He was basically saying, look, if you believe in spirituality, if you believe in a just God, that will help your life. It will give you hope. And if you live in a certain way, you will be rewarded. Those are all uplifting spiritual tenets, and he was very, very effective at doing that. I think his son Franklin Graham does that, too. I've listened to Franklin Graham now, and I think he's very, very on point in trying to stop this mass hatred that we're seeing in America.
Bill, CPAC is happening this weekend. Last year, they invited Milo, and we saw how that ended. This year, they have not only invited Marine Le Pen from the National Front, but they also had a panel. What was the name of that panel?
It was about conservatives being
silenced
in social media or something. Right. And it included, you know, Pamela Geller and Jim Hoff from Gateway Pundit and all these really fringy characters. They've removed
Hoff. I don't know much about this. As you know, I'm not a big ideology guy. I'm not a party guy, and I'm not an ideology guy. I'm a problem solver.
Well, to bring Le Pen in.
Yeah, I mean, that's all an anti-immigration play. I don't know why CPAC wants to concentrate on the Muslim threat. We seem to have a pretty good policy now in this country on dealing with ISIS and the others. So I don't know why this is a continuation. There are certainly more important things to talk about.
Like what? Give us something.
Well, basically, the corruption, this is really a threat to our freedom, and people are not figuring this out. The corruption of the media, because the media now has turned from fact-finding, which they are not interested in at all, to trying to launch a coup to remove a sitting president. I mean, that's what's happening. You guys know that. This is a media coup. After this gun control thing calms down, which will be probably in the next 5 days or so, you know what's going to come up again? The women. The women are going to be trotted out again to get Trump marginalized, to get him out of office. That's what's going to happen. So the media now has used its vast power and its privileges under the Constitution not to inform the American public, but to try to put someone in power, whether it's a Nancy Pelosi or take someone out of power. That's what they're in business to do now. That's a huge story. And this has happened since Trump was elected, but it was before then when they tried to put Barack Obama in power and were successful.
Wow. When I asked you what was really important, I assumed I was going to get a rundown of the latest deals at BillO'Reilly.com, and you did not come to the plate.
Oh, thanks
for
reminding me.
Oh, geez.
No, we're doing really well on a website. I mean, I think people are catching on.
No, Bill, you're not.
We're not doing well?
No, you're not doing well. I read it in the press that you and I are not doing well. We started this, and that's why Fox is doing their thing online, because it didn't work for us and so they're going to do it.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that article.
I'll just send them to you. They're hysterical.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, look, we're doing very well on BillO'Reilly.com. People are, you know, marketing is the key to that, which, and I thank you, Stu, for recommending that, for reminding me, because people are distracted. It's hard to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the cable news networks know that when Donald Trump leaves the building, whatever circumstance that may be, when he leaves, cable news collapses. And you know, we're in the forefront of giving people honest information. I believe you do that, and I do that. And I think that will prosper going forward.
I think so too. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Want to see? Look up what Bitcoin is doing today. I heard Bitcoin's falling apart.
It like went up like 50% in 10 days. Almost 100%. It was from about 6,000 to 11,700. I think it hit, and then it's down back down to 10,100.
Oh my gosh, it's
up and down a lot.
Hey, yeah, I mean, look, Bitcoin is something that you don't want to do. You know, this is not something you're like, I'm gonna put on my house for Bitcoin. I mean, it has gone up to from 1,000. To what was it, 19,000 or 20,000, yeah, to 6,
now back up to 11,
to 11, right, now to 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're planning
not a retirement
on,
plan,
no,
per
it's
se.
Not a good retirement no. plan. It's not. However, if you want to put a little something into it, that's fine. You want something that is not volatile, something that actually gains in value as life becomes more volatile. It's gold. Gold has been up $100 since December, and I think that it just closed out the last year, the best since, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, since 2010, I think. It's a safe haven, has been for centuries. It performs well in times of volatility, and if you've done well speculating in cryptocurrency, you might want to, you know, think about putting a little bit off to the side and hedge your bet. Gold. It's not an all-in strategy. It's there to help spread out the risk. And the risk really comes from expanding interest rates. As the Fed expands the interest rates, you will see gold go higher and higher. As you see inflation go up, you'll see gold go higher and higher. Goldline, under new ownership with better pricing, but the same great service. And to help celebrate the Olympics, they've just made this silver coin. It's a troy ounce of silver with the Olympic insignias on it. And they're giving it away, an officially licensed Team USA Olympic 1 ounce silver round. All you have to do is call them now at 866-GOLDLINE. Ask about how you can get the special at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Hey Sarah, do we have time for the Russia meddling segment? Do you have all of the audio clips and visuals for that? I'd like to, you know, I started the hour with what was happening with the media and Russia. And it is important that we understand that we are playing into Russia's hands. Russia wants to divide us. Russia wants us to be yelling at each other and not trusting anything. The media continues to miss this story. When Alexander Dugin said on Super Tuesday, what do you think he meant when he said this?
This is first truly interesting election campaign. It shows that America is on the brink of a revolution, especially if the elite won't give the power to people. Goodbye. You've watched Dugin's guideline on Super Tuesday. I've got the feeling that the liberals themselves won't leave the US and the humanity alone. We should help them to do that.
We should help them to do that. Huh. He believes that we are primed for a revolution, and if the elites don't leave us alone, they'll help us. Dugin's rant was April 2016. By that time, Russia had already been planning their attack on us for 2 years. According to the recent 37-page indictment, Russia's strategic goal was, and I quote, to sow discord in the U.S. political system, including the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Notice that the election objective was not about which candidate won. It was objective, but not the only reason. Sowing discord, which is a fancier way of saying unleash chaos, that was their primary goal, not to get somebody elected. As Dugin hinted at, Russia wanted us on the brink of revolution, and they are just launching their plan to help us along. And that plan, via leaked communications mentioned in the indictment, was to conduct, quote, information warfare against the United States of America. So how did they plan on doing that? By stoking tensions on both sides of the issue that we are fighting over, social justice and politics. And if you look, in almost every case, the Russian operation played both sides of the aisle, fiercely opposing a candidate or issue in one rally, and then staunchly supporting that issue and the candidate simultaneously in a different rally or post. They created social media groups specifically designed for them to fight each other. One group called Black Matters. Here is, if you are happening to watch, here is the images of African Americans that have been killed by cops with the words "never forget." This was Russian paid for. A separate post by a different Russian group said another gruesome attack on police by a BLM movement activist. On our hearts are with those 11 heroes. So they're paying for both sides? Regarding Muslims, one group called Stop All Invaders posted this: Sharia law should not even be debatable. You can't enter a foreign country and set up your own set of laws and regulations that contradict most of the world's moral stands. Near the same time, another page was created, and it included this post from United Muslims of America. The time has come to understand one simple thing, that we're American Muslims, and we are American, and we support Hillary. Save American Muslims. Wait. Against and for? There were pro-Trump ads claiming to make America great again. There's an example of one. And then there was anti-Trump ads that said racism won, ignorance won, sexual assault won, stop Trump, stop racism. There was even pro-LGBT posts organizing counter-protests to the Westboro Baptist Church. Keep in mind, while this Russian troll was posting a pro-LGBT ad from St. Petersburg, news reports were beginning to come out that the gay community was being rounded up and thrown into internment camps in southern Russia. On November 12th, 4 days after the election, two opposing rallies were organized in New York City. The first was designed to show, quote, show your support for President-elect Donald Trump. The second was called Trump is not my president. The latter was covered enthusiastically by CNN and MSNBC. Michael Moore even came out to lend his support. One of the big problems with the rallies is that no one could figure out who was in charge. No one could identify the organizers.
Hey, Morgan, can you tell who has organized this rally? It has been suggested that so many of the protests across this country have been impromptu rallies. I mean, it's been supported by a very diverse array of constituents. Is there someone in charge here?
Right now, this is a lot of different groups of people who have come together with no necessary...
Stop. Okay. This is all in the indictment. Defendants and their co-conspirators organized and coordinated political rallies in the United States. And to conceal the fact that they were based in Russia, defendants and their co-conspirators promoted these rallies while pretending to be U.S. grassroots activists who were located in the United States but unable to meet or participate in person. There's more to this. A lot more to this. We're both being used by Russia Will someone pay attention?
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Andrew Pollack, he was the father of one of the victims of the shooting last week. He implored the president yesterday, how many schools, how many children have to get shot? It has to stop here with this administration. Please, please, please never let this happen again. That's Samuel Jeff. He's a student who witnessed the shooting. He pleaded to Trump while he was crying yesterday. Please never let this happen again. Last night, Trump found himself awash in a room full of raw emotion. People affected by the shooting and Sandy Hook and Columbine gathered for a town hall to relay their experiences to the president. He was courteous, he was gracious, he was moved by the parents and the children that were affected by these needless atrocities. And he agreed, we have to strengthen background checks, we have to have enhanced mental health measures. In the face of this tragedy, he seems to be ready to make real change on how we purchase firearms going forward. But is this the right answer? Is this the most effective thing we do? We obviously need better security at schools and better FBI surveillance. But would banning assault weapons, like some of the children at the town hall called for, make any difference? You know, if you're disturbed, you're going to find a way to accomplish your sick goal, whatever tools you have at your disposal. It's unfair and quite frankly delusional to think differently. And also to think that the Trump administration or any president has the absolute power to please, please never let this happen again. There's nobody that can make these shootings stop. Can we do a better job trying to catch the people beforehand? Yes, but no administration can make it stop. No administration ever will. I believe Trump will try in earnest to appease these victims. I just hope his solution is constitutional and, more importantly, or as importantly, effective. But above all, separated from emotion.
It's Thursday, February 22nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Boy, the book that we wrote, 3 years ago and put out, Control, Exposing the Truth About Guns, has never been needed more than it is right now. I urge you to pick this book up, grab it on Amazon. It's a small paperback. We've made it so you could keep it in your back pocket. It has, 25 pages of footnotes in the back. So, because I never want you to quote me. I want you to quote the original source, and it has all of the stats and all of the arguments one by one laid out so you can have an intelligent argument, because that's what we, the only thing that is going to get us through this is trying to have an intelligent argument, screaming at each other or coming, unarmed in an intellectual gunfight. That person is going to lose. They're unarmed. They are unarmed. Come to the table with the facts. The topics are, we should start drafting a bill to ensure Newtown or shooting like this never happens again. Guns are lethal. No one wants to take your guns away. Boy, did you hear the father last night? So the father last night, and I think we have it, the Rubio.
I think it's a victim's father, Senator Rubio, and heated exchange.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Listen to this. He first accuses Rubio of being pathetically weak. Go ahead, play this.
I do believe what you're saying is true. I believe that someone like this individual and anyone like him shouldn't have any gun. Not this gun, any gun. But I want to explain to you for a moment the problem with the law that they call the assault weapons ban. And if you'll give me and indulge me for a minute to explain to you the problem. First, you have to define what it is. If you look at the law and its definition, it basically bans 200 models of gun in this combat, 220 specific models of gun.
Good, good.
Okay? But it makes, it allows legal 2,000 other types of gun that are identical. Identical. In the way that they function, in the, how fast they fire, in the type of caliber that they fire, in the way they perform, they are indistinguishable from the ones that become illegal. And the only thing that separates the two types, is if you put a plastic handle grip on one, it becomes banned. If it doesn't have a plastic handle grip, it does not become banned. So let me explain, if I may, just for a moment more.
Are you saying, you will start with the 200 and work your way up?
Notice
that? I would explain to you what has happened.
And notice the cheers.
Start. We can do that.
Well,
it's a good place to start. So this is what the left has to understand. Anybody who is intellectually honest on the left and says, why can't we just do common sense? Well, because this kind of language scares everybody who says, wait, you guys want to take away guns? Well, good. That's a good start. Then are you going to go after, well, let's get this done, then we'll go after the other 2,000 guns. Wait a minute. What are we trying to do? The people that I heard speak last night were emotional, and I understand that. If I just lost my daughter a week ago, and I'm talking to somebody, and I don't believe in guns, I just think that they're whatever, I am really angry, and I am going after, and I shouldn't be listened to. I should be heard, but I shouldn't necessarily, you shouldn't design policy around an angry, grieving father, mother, friend. Grief brings in really bad decisions. So I understand the feeling. But if you listened last night, where did we get out of this? You scared the people on the right because of statements like that and the cheers behind. Good. Then we'll start there. No, wait a minute. That's the problem. That's why there is no middle ground. That's why we can't have a common sense conversation, because no one trusts the other. Now, I could flip this around and say, I'm sure that there are people on the left that heard Marco Rubio say he's not going to take, or he will take money from the NRA, and they believe that it's money that is influencing Congress. It's not. It's the membership of the NRA. That's what scares Congress. The membership, not the money. So you hear, well, he won't stop taking money. So they're, and so now you don't trust. If we're going to do anything, we have to base everything on reason. You're not going to get that in an emotional debate. You're going to get my side is better than your side. Honestly, we were playing a clip earlier today. I've got four monitors sitting in front of me, and we were playing a clip, and it was just an audio clip. So I was looking for the video that went with it, and I looked down at the bottom video, and I thought that was the video for about 5 seconds. It wasn't the video. It was the crowd at the Olympics last night, because I heard the audio of people shouting and cheering, and I went down and I thought, okay, well, that's, man, look at that. Oh my gosh. No, that's the crowd at a sporting event. That's not the way to make national policy.
No, there's something very peculiar about the way we're doing this. You know, you're going to emotional, grieving 18-year-olds to try to find out what we should do with national policy. And their recommendation is that non-grieving, non-emotional 18-year-olds don't have the capacity to own a firearm. So we're saying that the people who are making policy are not capable of exercising their Second Amendment rights. It's a very strange thing to do. And honestly,
when did we get to the point to where we didn't say as a culture, leave the families alone?
Well, I mean, obviously they want to be involved in this, right? They are willing participants because they think they're doing something important. And as you said, Glenn, you go through something like this, I will give, personally, and I give you a complete pass on anything you say. Everything you say could be wrong. You could start speaking in languages I don't understand. You could do anything you want at this point. Because I know if something like this happened to me, I would be blurting out all sorts of stuff that's a lot dumber than even this, arguments that aren't buttoned up.
Yes.
But it's the media that I have the problem with here. The media knows, and they've been clear about this. They say it after every shooting. We don't understand. We thought that after Sandy Hook, they'd finally do the thing that we wanted them to do, and they didn't do it. And then we thought after the Pulse shooting, they'd finally do the thing we wanted them to do, and they didn't do it. Because what their whole plan is, wait for something to make people so emotional that they abandon the rights that they've been given. By God. They will abandon those rights because the emotion will overcome them. And they never let a crisis go to waste. This is exactly what you're seeing playing out right now. This is not does not make the people who are at, you know, who are making emotional arguments, they don't make them, doesn't make them bad. There's no criticism of them. I can't even comprehend what they're going through. But the idea that the media takes them out and says, puts that show on last night, where you have thousands of people who all agree and are going to shout down anyone trying to make a point that is rational on the other side, serves nobody unless you are an activist group. If you're an external advocacy group, which is not what CNN's supposed to be, then I understand that. But
the several times some of the speakers or the people who were asking questions said, look, I want to like you. That was a father who was speaking to Rubio. Somebody else said, you know, I want to believe that you are going to be part of the solution. And, you know, anybody here who agrees that we have to take these guns off the streets, I will support. Well, wait a minute. Wait. No, that's
right.
What's the big deal on that? Hey, if you, as long as you agree with me 100%, I won't kill you.
Well, it's the old compromise of the Obama administration. Yes. Look, I'm willing to talk to anybody who will do the thing that I want them to do.
Right.
Well, that's great. Thank you for that.
That's not having a dialogue.
No.
That's not trying to work through the issues. I have to hear you, and I do hear you. I hear you. But have you taken the time to hear us? Have you taken the time to hear, wait a minute, what that dad just said makes half the country lose their mind. Makes half the country go, see, they are coming for all of them. And that wasn't misspoken. They knew what he said. He knew what he said. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of all of these. Whenever you hear somebody in the media say, you know, Australia did it. Australia took all of the guns.
Yeah, well, 30 some odd percent of them. Which in the United States would be between 60 and 100 million guns.
Let's look at Great Britain. The police don't even have guns. The police don't have guns. And how is it working in Australia?
Well, it didn't do much of anything, to be honest with you. It showed multiple studies showed. And I posted this yesterday on my Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, Stuber Gear, or I think you shared it as well, mm-hmm. the Glenn Beck page. It goes through all everything that happened there. But it was they showed that there was no discernible change in murder rates. Remember, this is 20 times as far as any proposal goes in the United States right now. This is way further than an assault weapons ban or anything like it. It goes much further than that. They purchased 30% of the weapons in the country. And there was no discernible drop in murder rates. The same thing happened when we did a assault weapons ban here in the United States. What you found was that the Department of Justice found there was no change in murder rates. It didn't affect it at all.
It's not going to. This is, and I don't know where you're going to get this. I don't know where you're going to have this conversation. And, you know, maybe it's up to us. The conversation needs to be had. Look, let's stay on the actual facts. It's math. Let's stay on the actual facts. Let's look at history. What works? What doesn't? If you can come up with a proposal that works, let's discuss it. But please understand that, yes, I love my children, but I also believe the best way to protect my children is through a constitution that allows me to make the decisions that are best for me and my family. I believe that we have a right to free speech. How does one protect that speech if you don't have a weapon? Remember, the weapons were taken from the Germans and the Jews for their own protection. How was anyone able to do anything to stop Hitler? How was anyone? You weren't. You didn't have a right to self-defense. Now, everybody, oh, it's crazy. Oh, that will never happen here. Listen to what the left is saying about Donald Trump right now. They're already saying that he's akin to Hitler. Listen to how many of those of us on the right thought that Obama may not leave office. It can't happen here? What kind of world are you living in? Grab the book, Control, Exposing the Truth About Guns. Number one bestseller. It's available everywhere. It's my book, Control. Markets are beginning to price for a potential interest rate hike in March. Another one is likely in June and a third in December. After the market correction concern about inflation, this proves why it's really, really important to organize your finances so you can complete your new home purchase or your mortgage refi sooner rather than later. The lowest interest rate that you can lock into, the greater the savings. Now is the time to start shopping for rates, and you can get started by calling the salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing. With American Financing, you get straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. AmericanFinancing.net. Call them now at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. Or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It's unfair to ask Stu because he's read the book Control, but Stu, what is the percentage of shootings, mass shootings, that have happened in a gun-free zone?
Can I get a little bit of a range, like a few percent? Because I'll go with zero.
I'll give you five. I'll give you 5%.
I'll go 5%.
How many have been in a gun-free?
If I've got a 5% range, I'm going 5%.
According to the Crime Prevention Research Center, and it's in the book. Control, gun-free zones, areas where guns are not allowed, have been the target of more than 98% of all of the shootings.
It's incredible.
More than 98. It's only about just over 1% that the mass shootings have happened.
Why on earth? I mean, because one of the arguments was, well, no, a lot of them commit suicide, so they don't care if there's going to be guns at schools. They don't care if there's going to be security guards, so they would commit suicide. Their goal is to maximize the damage. So even if they're going to commit suicide at the end of it, it doesn't matter. They want to have as little resistance as possible so they can accomplish their goal. Look, you can say that the teacher with gun thing is not a good idea. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people are acting as if teachers are incapable of handling firearms. I don't understand this. That's not the teachers that I knew, but still, you should never, of course, be forced.
The coach, I believe the coach that died last week, I think he was a gun owner.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, he's put his body in front of. With no chance of survival.
Right.
Well, why? I mean, give the man a chance.
Like people keep saying, you don't want shootouts in school. Well, that's only true until one person starts shooting. then you do want shootouts in school.
When you,
you want someone who's going to step up and stop it.
What do you want? A shooting range? Is that what you want? I mean, no, no, no. A shooting range where the targets can't shoot back.
Right.
You don't want a shooting range.
No.
You want someone to be able to stop it. No. What happens if, let's say, police were stationed all around school? Are you telling me you wouldn't want a shootout with police? Of course you would.
Of course you would.
And
no one would attack that school.
By the way, that 1% number, I just want to make sure that you understand that the actual number of shootings that have happened in a place where you could have a gun since 1950, two.
Glenn.
Two.
Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Really excited to have Jordan Peterson on again tomorrow. He's going to be joining us. He is the author of a new book called 12 Rules to Live By. It's really great. I really wanted to hear his opinion on what's happening with the gun debate and how this is all playing out and how we should be behaving. Also, the new catchphrase with the media is about toxic masculinity.
Yes. That's
it. Toxic masculinity. What exactly is toxic masculinity? We'll talk to Jordan Peterson on tomorrow's program. You don't want to miss that. Welcome to the program, Pat Gray.
Speaking of toxic masculinity, Pat Gray joins us.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm a little concerned that our republic is literally at stake right now. It's literally at stake. The Second Amendment is the amendment upon which all the rest of our rights rest, right? I mean, that's why it's there.
Where do you get tripe like that?
Well, from a group of old white,
dusty white slave owners.
Slave owners.
Ding, 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 ding.
So you can't trust that line
at all.
But how about the theme of that event last night? I know these people have been through a horrible thing. I understand that, but for them to all say, you know, like the one guy said, and this was kind of repeated over and over again. It's look at me and tell me you agree with what I'm saying, or we're all going to attack you en masse.
You're a witch.
You must agree with my line of thinking, or I don't want to hear from you at all anymore. Yeah. Well, now, they keep saying, we're not going to allow anyone to shut us down or take away our voice, but you're taking away everybody else's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're taking away everybody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you drove this bus into the ditch. Get into the back.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. Who said that? Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
I do remember
Barack
that.
Obama.
Barack Obama said that. Obama said mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, too, because we look at the two events that happened yesterday. How often is Donald Trump accused of being, you know, of leading with emotion and all of his rallies? Remember how uproarious they were? And this guy mm-hmm. is constantly like lowering our discourse. I mean, you know, there's obviously something to that at times, but look at this. Look at these two events yesterday, the CNN event and the event where Trump sat around with people affected by this tragedy and talked to them, the listening event he did.
Mm-hmm.
You got way more out of that than you did out of the CNN event last night.
I don't think you got anything but anger on both sides out of that event. Because if you don't agree with the Second Amendment, you were screaming at the top of your lungs and cheering for the kids. If you do agree with the Second Amendment, you were screaming at the top of the lungs at the crowd and cheering for, you know, Dana and Marco Rubio.
I didn't hear much of that. Did you hear any of that? I didn't hear much of that.
I didn't hear anybody on the side of the NRA and Dana.
Oh, you mean at home? Me at home.
Yeah.
You were... Because nobody was there doing that.
No.
I mean, they...
Well, but you remember.
They jam-packed that audience with like-minded people.
Your selective memory, Pat. You mm-hmm. remember when we were all upset about the constitutionality of Obamacare, and you remember when CNN filled an arena full of Tea Partiers, and then we were allowed to say whatever we wanted to Nancy Pelosi and the leadership. And then they let us...
I'm getting older now.
They let us sing a song and have poetry at the end to close it out. You remember that?
No, but again, I'm getting older. Maybe my memory is not quite as sharp as it once was, but I've completely wiped that event out of my mind.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Mass hypnosis. That's all it's been.
That's, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. And how about Trump even coming out of this talking about comprehensive background checks? I don't know what that means, but if you can improve the background check, great. You know, good. So well, let's not miss anybody. But what I'm concerned about is the mental health screening before you buy a gun. What does that entail?
So do I
have to go see a psychiatrist before I buy a gun?
Well, you're already nuts. You want to buy a gun?
Yeah. Well,
so here's the thing. If the background check is the way that we, if you are seeing a doctor and you are dangerous to yourself, and we have a high standard on this, and it means that now goes to your background check,
mm-hmm.
then I'm fine with it. Here's
you're gonna have to change HIPAA laws for that though, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's not a simple thing to do.
No.
But if that's what it means, that the information that is already there, for instance, the Air Force, they knew that guy was in jail. They knew that guy was unstable. Yep. He shouldn't have had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It did not transfer onto the background check. If it just means that information that is already there that says you should not have a gun is transferred to that background check, I'm good with it. If it is, well, we're going to have a new little mental health thing. Uh-uh. No. No.
Yeah. And everybody who's ever been on an antidepressant can't own a gun, nor can anyone in their household, because you can't have a gun in that house where somebody's on antidepressants. If it goes to that route, well, you can't support that. There's just no way we can allow that.
They're not talking about that. They're just talking about common sense.
Right, common sense.
How common sense did you feel there was last night? How much common sense did you
felt it from Dana. Yeah. There was common sense from Dana.
Yeah.
There was common sense from Rubio. I didn't hear any common sense from the other side.
That was all emotion.
It's all emotion.
All emotion.
It's all you agree with me or you're a bad person. Yeah. You're evil. You support the NRA. They're evil. And if you accept money from them, you're doubly evil. It's ugly. It's like throwing Christians to the lions.
I really thought it was bad. I felt it was that way entirely. I thought it was a witch hunt.
It was.
There was nothing you could say.
No.
There was nothing you could say.
Even when you supported, Marco Rubio supported raising the age to 21
right.
for these weapons, and they still booed the heck out of them.
I don't understand. I mean, like, I just don't get that.
I don't either.
Okay, you got to be 21 to drink. Okay. But you have to be 17 to go to war.
Yeah. Or you got to raise the military age at that point, right? Raise it to 21, too.
Yeah, you can't use a gun.
And the registration for the draft, I think.
Absolutely.
If you're going to do the selective service stuff, you better raise that to 21 as well.
And Thomas Massie.
All of these kids who are teenagers support not being able to buy a gun until they're 21?
You can trust them with a policy, but you can't trust them with a gun.
You can trust them to design
the national gun policy, but God forbid they actually own one themselves. They say themselves they can't be trusted with that. Thomas Massie tweeted this. Why should a 20-year-old single mom be denied the right to defend herself and her kids? We should lower the age to buy a handgun to 18 instead of raising the age to buy an AR to 21. I mean, I think he's right on that, honestly. Dana made a similar point when she talked about a victim of rape who has discussed that she wished she had a gun to defend herself. Dana said herself, she's a female living on her own at 20 years old. Should she not be able to protect her house or her apartment?
Her body?
I mean, look, this is a constitutionally guaranteed right. And the idea that we're going to increase the age until you can achieve it, to me, is completely ridiculous.
Something else that is troubling to me is that these kids seem to be making it out about our generation is imperiling their generation by not doing what their generation wants us to do. It is also their generation doing the shooting.
Yeah.
This kid was 19 years old. He wasn't 49. He was 19 years old. He's in your generation. Could any of you guys have embraced this kid? I don't know. Could something else have been done by the people who knew him best? Oh. None of us knew the guy. None of us.
And we all know, of course, the answer to that one is yes. If 39 visits to his house in 7 years from the police, including not including the YouTube comment and the call to the FBI a month before he actually did the shooting from someone who said, this guy's crazy. He has guns. He's going to go shoot people. And they did nothing. That's our fault. That's me, a guy who has two guns and has never committed a crime with him. That's Pat, who has that's Glenn, who has 974,000 guns, but has still never committed a crime with him.
I've lost them all. I don't know what happened
to
any of them.
That's what I heard. I heard that you don't have any anymore.
They've gone.
Me too. That is so weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Wait, you guys have both lost all of your guns?
Lost them. Yeah. I don't even know.
Well, I haven't lost
them. I didn't lose them. I gave them to the military.
You
gave them to... Yeah, they're weapons of war, so I gave them to the war people.
Down in the backyard.
You did? You melted them down?
I melted them down.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Why? So
I did. Wow.
Well, why did, so when you said you lost them,
well, it's like we lost Billy Graham too.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I lost them. It's like I lost them.
They're gone now.
Because it seemed like you were making up the story as you were going along.
No,
to potentially, and maybe the story's not completely honest, is what it seemed like. But that's not true.
How do you? Why would I?
Why would anyone?
Why would you?
Well, you have. It would be a lot of melting knowing how many firearms you own.
I'm a big man.
Still, you know, you just want the people when they come for the guns to know you're wasting your time here
because you've melted.
Don't have any. Melted them.
See that nice bench back there? We made it out of the melted steel.
May look just like the one you could buy at Home Depot. It's definitely not.
It's not that one.
It's definitely not. I hate to bring this up, but you've hit on two things that have happened before. One, a society gets so polarized that the newspapers are printing different accounts of the same event, but they don't even reflect the facts. Either side, it doesn't reflect this. You could watch it and read one newspaper and then read the other newspaper and go, oh, that's not the same event.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened before. The other thing that happened before was it's your generation that got us here.
And both of these happened in Canada. Am I right? Is that a
no.
good... No.
No.
Oh,
no.
I'm surprised.
But it also led to confiscation of guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what country that happened or when, what time period.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
That theoretically.
You can't even bring it up.
No.
So
if I bring that up, I know
nutty.
What you'll say.
Uh-huh.
It always ends with a bullet in the head.
I'm just waiting for the big protest where we see the signs, Trump is a fascist. Let's give him all our guns. Because that sounds like a good dual angle approach on the problem.
There's just no logic or reason.
No.
There's just, you can't be afraid that the government may be fascistic and say we should give the government all our guns. What the hell is wrong with you? Simply Safe, the home security company that... I've worked with since they had 10 employees. I've watched them transform into the fastest growing home security company in the nation, protecting over 2 million people. They just released their brand new home security system. It's the all new Simply Safe. The system has been completely rebuilt and redesigned, and they've added new safeguards to protect against power outages and down Wi-Fi and cut landlines. They've tried to take a hammer to it and a baseball bat, and they just can't stop it from working. The all-new Simply Safe, redesigned to be practically invisible, but with powerful sensors so it sees everything when somebody is trying to get into your house. This is the new system from Simply Safe, and it's at the same fair and honest price. 24/7 protection for only $15 a month. No contract. It's smaller, faster, stronger than anything they've built before. And supply is limited. So go to simplysafebeck.com right now. Order at simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
There's a couple of other pieces of audio that we want to get to. First, let's start with SE Cup.
Yeah, here's SE Cup talking. I mean, look, everybody's talking guns right now. Here's this exchange from the SE Cup, unfiltered.
Assault weapons. There's some very tangible things that can be done.
Let me ask you, ladies.
Tangible things that can be done is absurd. If it were a tangible thing that could be done, it would have been done when Democrats held the White House, the House, the Congress.
I can tell you why. I'll give you three letters. NRA.
Oh.
Far too much control,
so
SE.
You're saying Democrats are also...
You didn't know that there were Democrats who were beholden to NRA.
Oh, no, I do. 54 of them lost their House seats.
Okay, so then be clear. So then don't act like it's absurd.
No.
It's so sad that this is the energy in this conversation when people die. Like, it doesn't have to be here.
Okay, that sounds really good. But let's talk in facts. When you say it's tangible to pass an assault weapons ban, it actually isn't. That's why Democrats didn't do it when they had total control.
No, it's now it's time for us to take
it's not going to happen now.
Yeah, now it's time for us to take the NRA out.
But they
didn't mean take the NRA out.
It means it's time for us to limit the control the NRA has over the Congress because people are dying. It means that we start standing up organizations and fund them to do things very differently from what the NRA is doing. It means that
millions of people who make small dollar contributions like me, what would you want to take me out? How do you do that?
What I just said, if you wanted to have a conversation.
No, I am. I'm asking, how are you going to take me out?
But you're not listening.
I'm asking a very real question.
Yeah. So do you want to listen
to take the
NRA out?
Oh no, I'm
just talking platitudes.
But what does
that
mean,
Angela?
What does it mean?
Do you want to listen now, or you still want to host?
I'm asking.
Okay. So what I said was there's organizations that are being stood up to combat the narratives, the policies that the NRA pushes, and we need to fund those organizations to ensure that the NRA's voice is not just muted, but we completely take them out.
This is all you need to know. We're not actually looking for solutions.
No, of course not.
We are looking for funding to be able to combat the NRA. That's all this is about. This is not about let's make sure that no children are harmed. This is about taking out the NRA. And I have news for you. It's not the NRA's money. It's not. It is the NRA's membership. People who own guns, who are law-abiding citizens, who take gun safety more seriously than anyone on television, that are left, right, and in the middle.
And I will say this. This is a little-known fact about our system of government. But the NRA actually gets to cast no votes. They get no votes in the system at all. Like Marco Rubio made this point. He came in and ran as a person who believed in the Second Amendment. So the NRA supported him.
So they're
not controlling his vote, as they would not probably agree with this 21-year-old limit that he's going to vote for.
There is a very well-documented and book written by the left about the Tides Foundation, about how and why it was started back in the 1980s. You're a conspiracy theorist if you believe the Tides Foundation influences Congress or elections. You're crazy. You're crazy. Yet the big, bad, evil NRA has got to be stopped now. Wow. I'll have to check out your star chamber maybe later.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.